Greetings, friends, family, and partners. You're listening to the podcast Choices We Believe. My name is Joe Watson, and in today's podcast, we're going to talk about the battle of the sexes, get all ooey and gooey and talk about marriage and God's plan, how man and woman are supposed to be one, but we're not. So let's get into it. Talk about identity, talk about different kinds of things that don't work. God had a plan, but it didn't happen. So I want to start with a story. What will you feel at the time of the rapture, the second coming of Christ? Do you ever think about that? How you're going to feel? What you're going to do? Maybe it'll be you'll feel like you're reunited with a long lost love. Because God is love. And he loves your soul. He loves your spirit. And he wants you to be with him. Or are you dreading the time? Oh no, he's back. I can't handle it. What about all the sin in my life? Well, Jesus took care of the sin in your life, so we don't have to worry about that. But back in 2019, I happened to be on the island of Cyprus. Yeah, the one in a Book of Acts out in the Mediterranean. I was spending some time every morning sitting in a chair facing east, watching the sunrise. It was beautiful. The Mediterranean has some gorgeous sunrises. They're just outstanding, unspeakable. On this particular morning, I had my coffee and my Bible, and I'm sitting there facing east, watching the sky turn orange and different colors as the sun's coming up. And as the corona cleared the horizon and I'm watching it look exactly like a man, the silhouette, dark silhouette in the center of the sun, man with long hair and his hands held out. And as the sun is rising, I swear, I thought it was Jesus. I said, oh, today's the day. Now's the time. I stood to my feet, held out my hands, thinking any moment we were all going to rise to meet him in the air. And I was feeling all kinds of emotions, waiting just any moment, thinking I'm going to be with the Lord and everybody that's coming with me. But after a few minutes, I began to realize, no, it's not happening. I don't see anybody rising up in the sky, and I'm certainly not. And that shadow in the middle of the sun began to fade, and it looked like another sunrise that happened, and I didn't know what to think. I was kind of stumped for a moment, but then I realized on the day that it does happen, I now know exactly what I'm going to do, how I'm going to feel, and I'm going to go be with my Lord and Savior and my husband. We'll get into that just a little bit later here on Choices We Believe. It's all about what choice do you believe and how are you going to understand it for yourself? You see, God made a perfect marriage and has a plan for marriage, but we've lost it. Especially here in the United States, we're all independent. And the unfortunate truth is that so many of us are clueless when it comes to marriage. Even the best conservative talk about how marriage is a one man and one woman, and leaving God out. God's idea of marriage is a triangle. He sits at the top. He's the father. And then there's a male husband and a female wife, and the three make one identity. But we don't do that here in America. Even in Christian marriages, sometimes the wife will keep her name, maybe hyphenate it with his last name on it, or maybe not even take his last name at all. We just work together as a contract, independent people coming together to cohabitate. And that's unfortunate because that's not what God says. And I know people will say, oh man, the woman doesn't want to lose her identity. She's a intelligent, strong, powerful, free spirit thinking and doing, and she doesn't want to give it up. Well, I understand that. And I'm not talking about inequality because God is the ultimate quality giver. He looks at everybody equal. He doesn't value anybody less, but he gives us all a role, and we are tasked with finding out what his destiny for us is and seeking it out to do exactly what he planned for us. We can't shake our fist at God and say, oh, you made a mistake. I should have been whatever. But it all started, we'll look and read back in Genesis. Well, if you have a Bible and you want to open and follow along with some of this stuff, that's fine. Genesis chapter 1, I'm going to start reading in verse 27. So God created man. And that you could say humanity, so God created a human. In his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. So we have human beings, one male and one female, that God created from the beginning. And this is the beginning where we see the battle of the sexes is going to get started, but God himself says, I'll fix it. God created marriage as a perfect union. Again, like I said, a triangle. Himself at the top, a male human and a female human. And in back in Genesis, starting in chapter 2, verse 21, and Jehovah God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, the male, and he slept. And God took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh underneath, and Jehovah God made the rib, which he had taken from the man, into a woman. And he brought her to the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. When I was little growing up, my mother was Mrs. Wayne Watson. And a lot of times the mail would come and it'd be addressed to Mr. and Mrs. Wayne Watson. That was my father's name. She took on his identity. But that doesn't mean she's given it up. How many of us, when we're 18, 20 years old, know what we are, identify with life, have a clue about living and this world? Not many. God's idea was that two would come together, both giving up their individuality and forging one new identity. But let's go on. Don't want to get stuck. I understand. Let's look at these words. I want to look at some. This is a fun kind of little exercise. The word man. You know, Old Testament is written in Hebrew. So the Hebrew word that we translate as man is ish, I-S-H. And that means man of, men of. You know, it's a prefix for some of the Hebrew proper names such as Ishbosheth, Ishhad, or Ishtab. The word ish is also used in the Hebrew Bible to refer to a man. And so it is written, it shows how it's written, I-S-H. And then the word woman is Isha, which means a woman, you know, female, every, together, wife. A lot of times in the Bible, we got wife and woman translated from the same word, and sometimes it's a little more difficult to understand the meaning. But proper name, Adam, Adam. It means ruddy, a human being, an individual, or the species, mankind. Common sort, low degree, person or man. So God created them male and female. And their total focus was on the relationship with Father God. Everything was perfect. But he told them, be careful. There's one tree in the garden that I don't want you to eat of because you'll die on the day that you eat it. And we could talk about that one for a long time, but we're going to move on. We're sticking with marriage. So sin enters the world, and that really that's a tsunami of bad things that happen. I want to focus with the man and the woman. So when the male, Adam, decided to eat the fruit over God's word, if you go back and look, Father God was talking to the male human about not eating that, and he had to tell her what God said. So he's the keeper of the word. But what happened is that he let sin into the world when he put her word over God's word and became selfish. In doing so, he caused a crack between him and her, but he caused a gulf, an uncrossable gulf between us and God. So look in Genesis chapter 3, starting with verse 6. It says, "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Man, if this was a movie, the music would be playing loud, the drum roll would be going. So while we're looking at this, we want to be sure to notice something. It doesn't say anything about sin coming into the world or any adverse reaction when she ate. She ate of it. Oh, hey, this stuff's good. I think I'll share it with him. The trouble started when he, the keeper of God's word, broke it and did something selfish over focusing on God. So here we go. In Genesis 3, let's jump down to 9, verse 9, and says, "The Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where are you? And Adam said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." Oh, here comes the question. God said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?" Has God ever asked a question that he didn't already know the answer? Yeah, he knows. So why ask the question if he already knows the answer? To give us an opportunity to articulate where we are at, to confess out loud our sin if it's sin, our disbelief if it's disbelief, or confirm our faith. He asked the question so that we could come clean and be right. Verse 12, "And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." Oh, man, he just, poor Adam, he's making a bad situation worse. Look at this, what he did. First, he passes the buck and blames her. That crack that he created when he decided to eat the fruit between him and her just got a little bigger. Then he says, it's your fault, God, because you gave her to me. My goodness. He didn't know what kind of a deal he was digging. He done went and messed up everything. And so if we read on in Genesis, we see where God created the curse. He gave her, the woman, pain. The serpent was to crawl on its belly. Now we have snakes that don't have any feet or legs. And then he cursed the ground so that the man, had to work all of his life. And he would only eat bread in the sweat of his brow. All kinds of stuff started bad, went from bad to worse. And then in Genesis 3, we look down here at verse 20. And he still hasn't figured it out. He is so messed up. It says, "And Adam called his wife's name Eve." Oh, what did that do? That finished the separation between man and woman being one and made two identities. We have a man identity and we have a woman identity. And now the best they're going to do is cooperate as two individuals. They're not at one anymore. And that's unfortunate. And that's why the best we can do is try to have a marriage that honors God, and we cooperate with one and each other, and we treat each other with respect and kindness, seeking one day for the God marriage to be restored. And guess what? We got a promise. That's going to happen anyway. So now Eve has her own identity. And the verse goes on to say, because she was the mother of all living, every human on this earth goes back to springing forth from Eve, the first woman. Some people say God had to create other people and wives and husbands and all kinds of stuff, but I don't think it's so. Every human that walks on the face of this earth, eventually, going back far enough, came from Eve. But she has another new identity. She was created with one, now she has a different one. I want to give an example and talk about this kind of in reverse. I have a sister that some years ago, her and her husband was foreign missionaries in South America. And the people that they were working with notified them and brought them an infant little girl who had been born in the Amazon jungles there in South America, and asked them to adopt, and they made the decision to adopt her. And that little baby girl is grown now with a husband trying to make a family of their own. And the identity she was born with down in South America was one thing. But the identity she has today is that of an American. Not the one she was born with, but the one she grew into by her adopted parents. You see, we can change identities. We are born with an identity, and it can be groomed and nurtured and grow, or it can be changed. We're born with a lost identity, but when we receive Christ, we're given a new one, a new identity. You see, God's going to fix this mess up that they had back in the garden. He's already working the plan, and he's given it to us one step at a time. But there's a promise in Revelation 19:7. The fix is in. Revelation 19:7 says, "Let us be glad and rejoice, and we will give glory to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has prepared herself." God will set everything back the way he planned all along by the wedding of the church with Jesus, the Messiah, as the husband, and God the Father over both of them. Again, it's like a triangle. God at the top, and a husband, and a wife, which is Jesus and the church. Something we want to look at is the communion. Think about this. When next time you go and have communion, consider this. Back in the first century, the Galilean tradition for couples becoming engaged was one part of it. It's quite long, but one part of it is the prospective groom brings a cup of wine and offers it to the prospective bride and asks for the, you know, betrothal. It was called being betrothed. And he hands the cup to her. And at that moment, she has all the control. She can say yes or no. If she doesn't want to and declines, she can hand the goblet back and say no. But if she decides yes, she drinks from it. And at that point, they become betrothed. They are now engaged to be one in marriage. That's a picture of what happens when we drink in communion. We are saying, yes, Jesus, I will, I do, I am. So in Revelation, we see here the marriage supper of the Lamb and the completion of the betrothal time. There will be no more separation of men and women. Jesus himself is recorded as saying that in heaven, we don't marry. We are not given in marriage, and we don't conduct our lives in that way. That'll be past. But we are also called, for those of us that are born again, co-heirs, seated with Christ at the right hand of God. We will function eternally as the wife of Jesus Christ, our Messiah. God's marriage was broken by sin and the selfish decision of one man, Adam. Because of his subsequent actions, his wife became an independent person separated from her original position with her husband under the lordship of Father God. Jesus came to make a way for restoration. He is our Redeemer. And one day, the new and lasting marriage will be established with Father God over husband Jesus and the wife, the church. We are here to learn how to function within marriage, how authority and submission works. We are admonished to submit to one another and to not consider ourselves greater. God is the greatest equalizer. Everybody who's ever been born is valuable to him. And some people who have not been born are still valuable to him. Let us consider who we are, where we are, and our position when we are born again. Our identity is betrothed to the one who will take us into eternity, who will have intimate relationships with Jesus Christ, our husband. It's going to blow your mind. My name is Joe Watson, and you've been listening to Choices We Believe. Thank you.